concerning position on the bylaw. I think there is some reference with the last vote and the rest of the what's going to happen now with the rest of the bylaw. Which is, I mean, people, I don't know.
I know that could be a very controversial situation for this. So I will
as Joe Friendly here, would they ask Joe Friendly if he could video? I've never seen anyone ask if, who was here last time? Joe Friendly has videotaped meetings, and also so has Bob Sass, and I have never seen anyone ask. I'm wondering why they're asking now.
No, I just was thinking, this is why for the to have a things for meeting here, I don't care what you do.
It'd probably be more peaceful if it was videotaped.
I mean, it's up to you. My understanding is up to you. But if the lab wants to take the room, my position is, I don't care if you videotape the video, I do. So, I mean, for the people that are just to end this discussion, I have a problem.
How did the last year?
Okay, but why don't we put something on the table? Videotape the meeting or not? I don't care.
All right, vote on it.
What
I'm going to make?
They can
tell a
okay, does anybody have
done?
I
would
suggest that
they have taken. What? No. Hey, I know. Actually, when you vote on that, if you want to laugh, if you want it to be a case like that. But the other lab members, if they want this to be videoed, let them vote on it. And you vote, Miguel, as you choose. Okay?
Yeah. Can we hear what people don't want to visit or why to do?
Make your own meetings.
We'll take
everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Machine
Uh-huh.
Control.
Not just against
okay, let's make it as sure that everybody's
I think that if someone is going to video or audio tape, if they are not on the lab, that at least they should just ask the permission of the lab, or does someone object to it? That's all. I would not talk to anybody and put a camera in their face, take their photograph, or video, or tape, unless I have it. No permission is ever asked, it's simply done. And I think that we don't ever get to hear the tape, we never get to see the video. So I don't know where these things are going.
Okay.
And that's my objection.
Okay,
and I know that Patty isn't going to stop. I don't want the meeting to be held up because of me. I'm voicing my opposition. I do not wish to be videoed. That is not going to stop her, but I'm just saying that I want when she has it on her tape that she understands that I did not want my video, my state on her hunting her channel.
Well, I would recommend that, if the lab wants to ask Patty not to take this, I wouldn't encourage the lab not to vote on those things because, it's really hard to vote somebody who wants to decide their rights.
If the lab wants to be videoed,
of the guests.
I feel it's an intention to be honest. And this is a meeting. We're having a meeting here.
And this is the public meeting, by the way.
It's a resolution on the floor, and she's videoing right now.
Grace.
Grace. Okay, Grace. Right. Yeah. Baby. You want to say something? I was going to say this is a public meeting. I just want to remind, I mean, I'm here, personal, if this was to be placed, I don't know,
the first library
or something, I don't think, I'm hoping that nobody would ask that.
Then what
would
you do it?
So, I personally have no problem with it at all.
Again, if there's a resolution, there's a on the floor, those, ask those lab members who want the video, take a vote on it, now.
Was it seconded?
There's another problem.
No motion.
You cannot, I mean, it's quite right to videotape these meetings, the public meetings or not. So it doesn't matter if the lab vote for party not to videotape the meeting, I mean, it's her right. And I don't think that the lab should.
It's not her right.
This is the public meeting area.
I know it's a public meeting, but we are also in business, and we don't want to be videoed. And the reason I question it, Patty has been very hostile to this lab. That's how I feel about it.
That's what George Bush says.
Maybe someone else would be.
Recording things since I can remember it. And the whole fight was about those things also. I don't want to censor anybody to exercise the rights in terms of the videotaping a public meeting. I will withdraw myself to take, just to put on this lab, to vote, to start somebody to exercise the right and do whatever they feel they do. I will suggest that if people wanted to work out something with Connie, that please, we can do that. If they say any part of this meeting that they think is too sensitive and they don't want it to be videotaping on that, I mean, something that you can work it out with Connie, but I won't go that far to really put it on this lab to vote for something that I think is wrong for us to do, and also it will delay this meeting and the argument.
It will take 1 minute. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, say no. That's it.
Those in favor.
Okay. Look, I'm not trying to get this into the argument, so I'm going to give three people to talk. Okay, 1 second. Because I see three hands, and that's what I'm going to take. Okay. Elizabeth, Fred, and the brother over there. That's it. You got 30 seconds.
Okay.
You got 30
seconds. I've been taking this audio and some of these proceedings on the internet. To me, it's enough for the people's voice and whatever opinions are.
Okay.
It's not 30 seconds. To me, taking people's faith in you and his family,
Okay, fine.
I'm a photographer in my life would take somebody's picture without asking permission. Not in my life.
Fred Nguyen took them all at the last lab meeting. He took everybody's picture. He took mine without asking.
Did you tell him this?
Yeah, I did. And he said he didn't like my tone. Carolyn Burden said she didn't want Fred taking his picture, and he ignored it.
Then he shouldn't have ignored it.
Now it's an issue.
I think that was already a press, right? So people, why they don't post that? So. Mm-hmm.
I believe that there's no problem with you kidding, but they should ask for permission to make everything more smooth. So.
Okay, fine.
I would ask permission. I have never seen anyone ask permission. I've seen Bob Fast videotape. I don't think he asked. I don't think that. Joe Friendly has ever asked. I don't think Liz Boyce has ever asked. I don't understand this.
Why don't you just ask anything? Just ask. Then they'll flatten out. May I have your permission?
I'm not taking any position on this issue. But I think if your lab members want to talk and address the public, they have to be doing at their desk rather than going and harassing people. As we know, I think it's unconscionable.
for the lab person to go to somebody's face, push them or talk to them. They can talk to them. They have a million. They have the...
Can I respond to
them? They should talk to
them. Okay, I
want to
respond to that.
Okay,
that
was
many
that's
what
it
hurts.
A point, of information, please, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, point of information. Okay. Look, all right, I don't never do this, never. But I'm a lawyer, okay? And if she uses this tape for any reason whatsoever, commercially, okay, you know, without a license, people's pictures on that tape, okay, she can be sued. Everybody in this room will have the right to sue her. And that's fundamental copyright law. Everybody knows that, okay? So you have that's the reason why you ask people's permission, because you must ask their permission, okay?
Let me ask you a question.
Just because you let it happen in the past doesn't make it right now.
What is it that you want to do with the tape? You
want
to sell this?
I think this, in the spirit of taking back Pacifica, I think this is a momentous meeting that should be videotaped, as all the other meetings that have been videotaped have been videotaped. This is a momentous meeting where the board members are going to decide the manner and number of elections for WBAI. And if that's not a momentous occasion worth videotaping, then I'm really not sure what is.
Listen, okay, let's put an end, and then Vince, I don't think it makes any sense, just people go around and talk again. All right. Look, in the lab, people don't want it to be taken. I mean, that's also your right. You have to deal with that. I don't think that really matters if we pass a motion here saying she's not entitled to videotape. Now, if anybody wants to enforce that by force, I actually will recommend that, but it's up to the lab to decide what to do. In my case, she can videotape this meeting.
I don't know if it's historical. I don't know if it's historical. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
People who, I don't know, I don't care. What's the other one?
Don't care.
Five people, right? People who really doesn't matter if they videotaping this.
Those who oppose.
Who oppose, please raise your hand. People who abstain. 1, 2, 3. All right. So, 5 are against videotaping. 1.
I don't know of one. Maybe Mike Beasley.
I would
We voted against this. Did you hear what the vote was?
Yes.
Then that's it.
You can vote against it, but you're going to have to get a... Yeah. I don't know. You voted against videotaping, but I don't understand why it's okay for other people to videotape. You've already stated your prejudice against me videotaping. So perhaps, would you like to videotape it instead for me?
I got
to
leave in my job.
Well, you can start. We could pass it around if it's me that's the problem. It is. They're afraid.
People can sue you if you try to sell it. But if you don't, they can't.
They don't want to be on record about what they're going to do.
Really? Probably. Everybody.
No, probably.
Okay, so let me just repeat the agenda. Octave, the new general manager of Fontaine and Rojas. Octave from Houston. And now that Leslie here, maybe we can give him like a short and sweet. Sure. Try his best.
The update.
And we're also going to include in there in the thing that is going on in all the labs. So. Update from Houston. Question the lab concerning positions and bylaws. Discussion, further discussion of bylaws, models, as time permits. Okay? So let's see if we can start with the general manager from Houston, Anthony.
Okay, last Wednesday, Dan Conklin announced that WBAI that the process of selecting the next general manager of WBAI have resulted in Don Rojas being the choice. And that process was the culmination of about 7 or 8 months and over 50 candidates being considered. The process involved at the local level, the GM search committee that was comprised of the representative from the IPNB, representatives from the lab, representatives from several listener groups, as well as communities, various geographic communities within the city area. There's the upstate, New York City, Long Island. In addition to that, there was a staff representation which had both paid and unpaid staff representatives as well. That whole effort went through several stages, and there were reports here regularly. But just to conclude, the stages included a sifting of the resumes of candidates down to those that we felt were strongest for an initial phone interview. And there were approximately 9 people who were identified for that process. And from the phone interview process, which ran anywhere from about 40 minutes or so, we had these candidates that would come in, had an opportunity to meet for an hour or so with the staff as well. And so there were 2 separate kinds of meetings that those candidates that came in had an opportunity. After that process, we identified candidates who you might call semifinalists, who we reviewed their references more closely, and a background check process was initiated with Pacifica. And from those candidates, we identified those that would be recommended to the executive director as prospective general manager. And from that process,
certainly,
we identified 2 people, Don Rojas and Aurora Flores, And at that point, the executive director reviewed recordings that we had made of the interviews, as well as he had in-depth interviews with each candidate himself. And after that, he came up to BAI to meet with the staff and in a separate meeting with the GM search committee. And then after those discussions, he made his final decision over the following week. And that decision was, that announcement was made last week. We felt that the process was very inclusive of the listening community. And we also feel that the final choice was one was very strong. There were many twists and turns in the process, but overall, the committee as a whole worked as a whole. And I think we acquitted ourselves well with the choices that we presented to the executive director and the subsequent decision that was made.
Thank you. Any question about that? Question from the lab? Because this is from the afternoon news, I think.
The question was about Don Rojas. Why is that name familiar? Just briefly, Rojas is a person with a lot of varied media experience, I should say. He's been a journalist. He's managed newspaper publications, including the Amsterdam News. He's presently the principal in charge of the Black World Today, which is a website that covers internationally the African world in localized issues as well as at an international scale. He was the Minister of Information of the New Jewel Movement when the New Jewel Movement under President Maurice Bishop was the head of Grenada. He was also the editor of the newspaper in Grenada prior to his assumption of the responsibilities of the Minister of Education. He's functioned internationally on many diplomatic levels. He also was one who has been an activist in the civil rights and liberation movements within the U.S. and within the Caribbean. Someone who came with strong credentials, as did a number of the other candidates. And that was, for those of you who may have recognized him, he's been a contributor on WBAI over the decades, and he's also been a contributor on a number of other radio stations. If that's helpful, we'll probably leave it like at that. And there will be additional information in the form of a formal report that will be issued very soon on that process.
I think on January. It's supposed to start on January, right?
The question was when does he start? That is still not finalized. It will probably be no later than the beginning of the year.
So we just look forward to see that Rohan fit in and start working and supporting in any capacity that we can. And by that is out of the way. So let's see if we can go into the Houston kind of short version of what happened in Houston. And in the beginning, we decided to have a few people to feel like a short report, but so I don't know, Janice and Leslie, you wanted to share that?
Yes. I'll start with the most contentious point of what took most of the time, was the electoral mechanism. That was our biggest discussion. And we, although the entire weekend we just spent going through Rob's consolidated version of the bylaws. So she had gone, Rob Robinson, board member from D.C., had gone through all the different versions that had been submitted. We got to put together things so that we could have one, have every aspect that people had submitted in one space. And what we ultimately ended up with as far as the electoral mechanism was the reason we're at this meeting tonight is that we were discussing whether we use the KCFA model or the hybrid model, which is what Donna Gould had put forth, and she did present it. It was a sort of combination of the constituency model and the KPFA model, trying to bridge the gap. And what the Pacifica National Board ultimately did was kick it back to the labs. They could get both of them and they could vote. Among the other issues that were discussed were affiliate directors and at-large directors on the board. We did not have a conclusive vote on that, did we? Okay, and we also had the executive director as an ex officio member of the board, and we discussed length of terms, which was an important thing, I think, that point that was covered, 2 years. 3 years. 3 year terms, and there was a lot of back and forth to people not being able to, at the local board, not being able to run the first year, but being able to run the second year. And what happens when there's a mismatch when you're at the local board, which has been voted into the national board, and we dissolve that mechanism. Anything else?
You know, there probably was some other issues that was covered, but I think Janice is, you know, absolutely right, that the hard issue, the one that didn't get resolved, was around the question of the mechanism or the process for the elections of the local board. And I just want to be clear that what the national board asked the local advisory boards to do around the country was to look at those two models, the hybrid model that was put forth and the KPFA model, and to see where you stand. This is not a final vote. What you do today is nowhere near the end of this process. And I think there's been some confusion, you know, around the country about this. What we wanted was by this weekend, when the interim national board meets again in Washington for a closing meeting, and there will be a part of the agenda on bylaws, you want to hear reports from the five local boards as to where what your stand is on this issue, or whether or not you have another point of view. So, for instance, I just heard today that the Washington lab last night voted for the whole new bylaws proposal put out by Jabari, which has a whole other non-electoral mechanism for putting together the board. So I have no idea where we're going to go with this.
Well, and also just in that sense, the LA model, the LA KPFC lab also involved last night. Sunday. And tonight in New York and Texas, we're going to have a meeting at 7 o'clock Texas time. So we don't know whether it's time. But also in the KPFK decision, which is basically, I don't know if you have a clear what the position was.
My understanding is that I haven't seen an actual report from that meeting yet, because they addressed a number of different issues beyond the issue of the election model. But my understanding is that they rejected the constituency model.
The hybrid model.
Sorry. And same with the KFA. They reaffirmed their commitment to the KFA model.
Actually, just to correct KPFK law, the LA, actually, they didn't endorse KPFK.
I didn't say that.
I talked to Lydia Branson today, and she was in the middle of putting together an email, so yeah. I guess it says it by now. But Jabari was can anybody? Okay.
This is a short information. Did KPFK lab vote for anything?
I have not seen a written report of it yet. I saw an email from Lydia Brazon, who is the chair of the KPFK lab, saying that she would be putting together a report of the various votes that they did take. But I haven't seen that yet.
When I talked to her tonight, she was in the middle of putting together the email, and what she told me was that they had some problem with the 50-50.
Right.
They want to increase 60 to 40, which is what I'm not clear, and I couldn't answer the question was, that was the reference to the diversity or the men-women requirement that she was talking about. So I wasn't clear on that. Was diversity. Okay, 60% diversity. Okay. And then we're going to Ann Emmerman's question, which is in terms of the Washington Lab, the Shibari position.
I did not have the time to read a whole new set of items. excuse my attitude, but I don't get to read that. Based on what he said at Houston, my understanding is that he does not want to have elections. He wants people, and I don't know what the particular details of this are, how it would happen, but people who actually put in work, who volunteer labor in some way or some form of fashion in and around the station to be eligible to be part of the local station board. And then he wants to eliminate the whole election process. Let me just say right up front, it's not going to happen. We are bound by a settlement agreement that as part of the settlement agreement, we have to have elections. That, you know, unless someone's going to challenge that whole settlement, you know, so it's not going to happen.
It's not happening.
Okay. Even if.
I think that with that, and we're just waiting for what's going to happen in Texas. I think before they finish that meeting, we're going to finish what we're meeting, and let's see what happened here. But the idea of this was that the people can have some idea what's going on. I also, in terms of Houston, one of the things that I was trying to do in Houston was trying to talk to some of the different labs and see where they stand. And basically, I think that I was working with Paul and putting together some kind of a compromise version of a way out, I would say. That basically, when I talked to different lab people there, most of the people, they even wanted to take a look into that because we somehow keep a little bit of flavor of the constituency model in terms of the still trying to keep some of the elements, but basically we're trying to be 50-50 the diversity requirement, but still some people don't want to buy that. So I try to have like some idea where the people stand, and to be honest with you, most of the people is that the people really don't want the constituency model. And even I told them that it was like a kind of a way out, basically, when the people may not really make everybody happy, but at least people should, or not have anybody to really be a loser or anything like that, but instead that everybody see that somehow part of their philosophy, part of the model was implemented there, and maybe we can move along, because that's the dynamic that we're trying to put. In any event, people didn't buy that, and you know, here we go. So, and I say this because of what may happen here tonight. My concern, and I have to give you right now, is that we at least keep the 50-50% alive. And that would be my concern and something that I will push forward. And then let's see how we end up tonight and how we look at the different scenario that we presented here tonight. So, is there any question from the lab before I go to Roger? Okay, Roger.
Well, in terms of reporting from the meet this past IP&D meeting, two other key points of what was talked about there is that there was a straw poll where the International Board decided to have one uniform collection policy across the network, as you mentioned.
Right. I think that's the point.
We didn't specify that tonight. And the other thing to specify is, at least as far as the straw poll is taken, if they could find what a listener member would be.
The first one is about the uniform mechanism for the election that we could apply in every the five areas. That was in the straw poll that was passed in Houston. And the other one was the definition of or Pacifica member, which the idea is that you are a member of Pacifica, and not in particular that you are a member of a particular area.
A listener member, the person that gets to vote is the foreign in a straw poll.
Right, and the idea was that you are a member of Pacifica. That was the strong
vote. That wasn't the thrust. It was who would be able to vote.
it was like a listener voting member right. That's what the discussion was.
Right.
And it was whether the local board would be able to waive the requirements of time and the donation. And we did, and I think the agreement was that the local boards would, it would be up to them to waive. But it wasn't opposed to, you know, what
I can read my notes from
can you please? Yes,
A listener member requirement is $25 contribution or 3 hours volunteered a year of volunteer work, which can, and then the local station board can waive, issue a waiver on a case by case basis.
So
hardship waiver has been a case by case basis by the local state.
We'll not use the word hardship.
Right.
Right. Or downtrodden.
Did I say hardship? Just one person talking about the more than clear. Well, I just trying to have it clear that people have some idea what happened in Houston. So, that's the question from. Okay, Andrew.
Yeah, I have a question on that membership definition. And the so-called waiver criteria. So let me ask that first. Can any of the IPMB members clarify what was the significance of the vote as it pertained to the membership?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the interpretation of the significance of it was that the majority of the board, the interim board, felt that in order to have the right or the privilege, whatever you want to call it, the obligation to vote, that you have to there had to be some mechanism by which it was clear that you had a relationship and an affiliation with a connection to the station. Right, and that's how membership would be defined by that relationship. One way to have that is by making a financial contribution. Another way is by putting in a certain number of volunteer hours. But it was also an understanding that there may be listeners or people who want to connect to the station, but who can't fit, you know, don't fit into those categories, or you know, for which giving money is not the easiest thing, or they're not able to do it, or they don't, for whatever number of reasons, are able. X number of hours, so that the local station board would have the power and the authority to waive that.
Right.
And then, you know, in other words, to make it clear that there was some relationship to the station, but also to make it as broad as possible about what constituted a relationship to the station.
The question was about the waiver. So I would come at it again, maybe you didn't hear that part. What would be the criteria given the hardship?
It was left open. We decided not to use words like hardship.
It was not detailed out.
Any other questions?
That was the first question. The other thing was with respect to the uniform mechanism. Could you elaborate on that in lieu of the discussions that continue going at the local level, in which different models are still being discussed? Was this a uniform mechanism that would allow for some differentiation or not?
I think it may have been unanimous or almost unanimous. On the 9-1 on the interim board, that it should be uniform, that the same election procedure should be in place in each of the five areas.
The five areas, the same procedures would apply.
Options, like you could choose whether to have a board that was 16.
It went from 16 to 24, but the mechanism, how you carry out the election, would be uniform. But again, that is not finalized, nothing in these bylaws is finalized, but it just says to the people to see what the people's stand is, how the final vote will totally come out. All right, you have another question?
You're saying, for instance, how the final vote might come out. What I'm trying to understand is how do our IPMB members, if anybody will comment, how do you see the decision that it should be uniform on the one hand at an 8-1 level, and with the extreme differences at the lab or signal area levels that still seem to persist, is there some way that you understand or see the next set of maneuvers? Because I guess we really want to understand what, how that would inform what we might be doing locally here. And I'm just trying to get clear.
Well, we were left with the international board had a different opinion, you know, within its own right, about what election model is favored, right? And we were deadlocked, really. I mean, that was my recollection of what was happening there. And we weren't getting past a certain point. Since this is one issue that, in the end, the labs will have to vote on, and 3 out of 5 labs will have to agree on it for it to become, you know, finalized, the recommendation that I made, and that was accepted, was that this particular question go back to each of the 5 labs for more discussion to see where we're at. Now, if in fact we come to this weekend and we get 5 different ideas about what the election model should be, then we have to look at that and see what to do with it. If it's clear that one election model has at least 3 out of 5 left supporting it, that will probably influence what the national board thinks. I mean, I would imagine it will influence it. You know, but there is no answer, you know, no firm answer, I believe, to your question, because we have to see exactly what each lab is thinking. And again, this is not the end of the process. Right, so some new version or compromise position might still...
But let me just make two comments, just very quick. The first one is that this is one of the drafts that was given out in Houston. And I think that the idea of the whole process is that the next draft is going to be smaller because basically somehow some position is being left out, and it's a reflection what we're going to end up with. Because otherwise we can, every time we have a meeting, have a discussion on the whole encyclopedia. It's never going to finish. So it's a condensed version of what we've been debating for month and month. So that is the thing that let's see what we're going to see in Washington, D.C., so that people can have some idea. The other comment that I was thinking to make, anyhow, any other question from the lab?
I wanted to briefly address the point that AK was making about the vote for uniformity across this country, because you're right, everybody's different, and the environments are different in every signal area. But one thing, at least I was thinking, and we talk about this often, is that, yeah, we're different, but we really do want to try to make this feeling of, you know, we can't get along, but at least know that we're part of a network. And that was one thing I think people were feeling, is that if we start splitting up and having different ways of different electoral mechanisms, it'll just reinforce more of this separateness that's going on. I don't know if that really answers what you're saying, but I think that's what informed my vote.
Oh, yeah, my comments was basically in Jonas' 3 laughs, and I think that more or less, I mean, I know people have been seeing what's going on in all the labs. I think we have today with the session of Washington that basically trying to change the whole game ball right now, which is, I don't know how that's going to be in Washington this coming weekend. So the other labs, even they have, their position is not that much away from the KPFA. Which is something that I tried to emphasize before. So we can take it from there. My recommendation again is that maybe we can try to come out today with some kind of version that we can take to the meeting in Washington, D.C., and, you know, let's see what happens. So we're going to try to work it out, and I would like people to really make an effort to cooperate a little bit with the meeting, see the meeting a little bit peaceful, and, you know, raise your hands before you talk. And let's see if we can end this meeting before 10 o'clock. Some people have to leave really early. No. Okay, Cecilia and Gail, and I go to you after this.
I just have a comment to make about the waiver position. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see how someone who is incarcerated or who is unable to attend meetings could even be considered a member of the lab. When you think in terms that members of the lab,
my understanding is that the geographic representation was dropped. Is that correct?
Yes.
From the hybrid model, it was never in the other model.
I mean, that, you know, I have a lot of concern about that, and, you know, would put that back onto whatever version we finally decide to go with. You know, even with four people, I think, on this lab to represent the suburbs, we have a really, really hard time having our voice heard and having some of our needs and our activism represented on the AI. So, I think we're really like to incorporate that in some way.
My question is, are there written proposals that we're going to be discussing tonight? Have they been written down, and are they now before the lab in some sort of written form? And if so, which version is being used? And have all the members of the lab read the proposals before them before they even begin to discuss it?
Well, I think there's two important issues that we need to discuss tonight, which will be the KPFA position in terms of the diversity requirement and the position of the KPFA as the reference. And the other one is the hybrid model that was the mandate for the National Board for the different labs to revisit that question and try to see how we will come out from there. So that is, Donna is.
I'm going to pass it out and answer this question. I will pass out copies of the hybrid proposal.
Okay.
So my question then is that these have not been read yet. The new version of the hybrid model. I'm asking.
It was posted.
Yeah. I mean, it's a short version. It's not like a whole document about it. Okay. Is that correct? It is not a whole
set of bylaws.
Right.
It's a proposal about the election procedure.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be a whole long document.
Right. And that would be KPFA and the hybrid model, whatever you want to call it.
Just to complete my thought on this, is this the same thing that will be passed out tonight? Is this the same model that was presented to the IPNB in? It's exactly the same wording and everything.
No,
nothing has changed in this.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know the answer to that. I just said what I said.
The answer is yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Marion, we end up with that and we go to the...
Well, I understand that the National Board voted for the majority for the hybrid and the KPS model. Now, I want to... There are 2 or 3 board members here. Does that include the board? Because the constituency model came out of New York City. Does that include us from voting for the constituency model?
No.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
What we urged and requested was that the lab in this 2-week period between the Houston meeting and this upcoming meeting in Washington, that the labs had a meeting to talk about the election process, that there were 2 models that at that point were still in consideration by the National Board, the KPFA model and the hybrid model. We asked that the labs look at those and discuss those, but if there was some other idea that you wanted to consider, we wanted to hear that feedback as well. So, for instance, the WPFW lab is sending us a report that says they want to go with Jabari's model. Right? It's a whole other new option. So we're not ruling out anything. We just urge you to please talk about those 2. And if in the course of your conversation some other idea comes up, you want to put something else on the table, That's your right. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's quite clear, and it's been stated twice. So therefore, the notion, as you stated, Miguel, isn't quite accurate that the interim board mandated the discussion of the two and circumscribed the discussion to those two. As far as I know, people are perfectly at liberty to discuss any proposal, including the old constituency model, which the local board endorsed in the straw poll the last time they met.
Right. Just if we can make it short, what I was trying to push the people to look into is what's going on and what is the possibility that you have are trying to push a model that maybe is not going nowhere at the national level. And trying to see if we can maneuver to come out with a version that has the possibility to be implemented by the national board. Now, we can do this in two ways, in an easy way or in a hard way. You say, no, everybody, we're going with this, and we don't care if people are not supporting that or not. Okay, that's what I'm trying to
do.
When you go to those meetings, just take a look in the whole national board members, how they would vote in. I can tell you, like, they'd be fed when he voted for something like, okay, hell, I'm going to change my vote, I'm going to vote for this, like, without even thinking what he was doing. But it still doesn't reflect that would be the great support, not even in the national level, or to get relapse to support that position. What I'm trying to push here is to be a little bit, from a strategic point of view, to see if we can be a little bit more political than anything else, and see how we end up with this situation. That's what I'm pushing. I'm not running now, the last thing that, okay, let's keep the constituency model. Hey. Okay, look, we got to end this in about 3 minutes, okay? And Marion? And I'm going to call in John. Okay.
What I wanted to find out, and Leslie answered my question for, is this a decision, this board, from deciding which model they want. And true, you can compromise. But I haven't seen anybody come to compromise. When you compromise, who's compromising? Are they asking the people to develop the constituency model to compromise? I don't know if the KPS model to compromise anything. This hybrid that came out all of a sudden, which is a collection of, I guess, both the constituency and the KPSA model. And I have to tell you something about that KPS model. I am concerned about that KPS model because it's not broad.
Okay. You will have
and let me say, and it's not deep enough.
Okay. Fine. Paul and John.
One element that hasn't been mentioned so far is that the way that the board came about to recommend that the labs consider the hybrid model was that the representatives of the Unity Caucus withdrew the constituency model
and
in favor of Donna's hybrid model as a compromise.
Right.
Fred, I just want to indicate to the people that are listening to this that Fred, the recorder, is shaking his head in a negative fashion. However, what I'm saying is fact.
Right.
Now,
who is the representative?
The board never considered Donegal's proposal. The board was about to submit the KPFA proposal to the labs, and Bob stood up and said, but you never considered Donna's proposal. And at that point, a vote was taken, and I won't go into the details. A vote was taken, and ultimately the board decided to send Donna's proposal, which had become the proposal of the Union Caucus, and the KPFA model.
Okay. I just wanted to
make a point of information.
That is
okay. No, it's not. You can listen to the tapes.
of many gaps that you might have.
Also, at that point, already the membership language was already accepted, and it was based on that that all of this came at that point. So the membership, so the consistency model membership that they were proposing was out when we supported the hybrid. The membership language was taken out, and the uniform voting has been taken. So it was under that circumstance toward the end of, on Sunday, that decision comes to everybody to know what was the context. When you are talking about reviving the constituency model, this constituency model was on the table at that time. And for the reasons that you were talking about, but what is going to happen in the national, and why is this process is going to take on? It has been months and months and months. We are going to make decisions, so we have to be more strategic about this.
Point of information. Point of information. I listened to the tapes of when Donna gave her a quote. Donna said she was representing herself, basically. Okay? Now, where part of the tape did somebody come up as the representative? No, I didn't. Where was this statement on tape? I represent the Unity Caucus, and we got the vote. Did you say that, Bob?
Bob, yeah.
Who made you the representative for the Unity Caucus? As opposed to, did you go to a meeting before that?
You don't need to answer that. So
you got to use that.
Answer that. It's up to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You want to. Okay. So I guess you don't want to. Bam. You wanted to say anything? No. John.
I'm sorry. I'll go back to a point that was raised earlier about waivers. So I had a question. Was there any discussion or vote at the Houston meeting? I know you said that there was no adoption of any uniform guidelines as to waivers. But was there any discussion as to whether each lab should adopt guidelines or whether there should be no guidelines at all? It's just a case by case basis.
In
terms
of waiving?
Would there be guidelines for each lab adopting guidelines or no guidelines?
From my recollection, that was not a discussion about that. It just basically posted the question to the lab that is the lab the one who that for the lab just to see, consider some cases for some people to get a waiving, and the lab will decide that. That's to my recollection what happened there. Which is, I mean, it was not a much discussion about that. I think it was something that I guess it, like everybody understood was clear. That, right?
Can I ask, please, Miguel?
You have to be short.
That we not go back on forth because we left that waiver business. It was discussed briefly.
Right.
And now we're just going back again. Can we go in one straight direction and stay where we are?
Let me go to Mike and Joe. But you have to be very short. We're going on the part of the agenda.
Just a short question. I went to a couple of bylaws.
Sorry, you have to start over. I cannot.
Oh, okay.
Okay, start over.
I went to a couple of bylaws subcommittee meetings. And it seemed to me there was an overwhelming vote at those meetings to support a KPFA model against a constituency model. And the question I have for the board is the board obligated to follow that or not?
No.
I'm just asking.
I think that they have, I mean, it's just one position from New York, from the bylaw committee. Not necessarily, I mean, there's no way to make that, to enforce that, and you have to go this way or that way. I mean, that's what we have. Even the national board, what they are doing now, it doesn't mean that, you know, we need to go the way that they are deciding right now. But let's see what happens at the end of the whole process.
Let me just say that there are at least 11 groupings, right, that whose ideas we're trying to pull all together to the extent that the 5 local boards, local advisory boards, the 5 signal areas bylaws committees, and the international board, right? All of those groupings have had discussions on a host of different kinds of issues. Some labs have had less discussion about bylaws issues than other labs or than their local bylaws committee, but all those units are in the mix here. The challenge we face is to take all the ideas that have emerged from all those places and see where there's agreement and see where we can, you know, develop some, a uniform set of bylaws, you know, not uniform, a set of bylaws for the foundation. Right now, I think, as Janice said, the very first sentence she said on the report from Houston was that the most controversial point
and the most difficult point has been the model for the election. I must say, just personally, it's actually somewhat surprising to me that this is the most controversial point, as opposed to the powers of the local board or the powers of the national board or, you know, things like that. Nonetheless, this is where we are. This is still the outstanding sticky issue that somehow we need to find some formulation for elections that can work for this organization, that people can live with, understanding that there's already broad agreement throughout the network that at some point in the future, even though an exact date hasn't been set yet, there will be some kind of bylaws review convention, you know, to that this question and other questions can be revisited.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the end of that.
I just want to make it clear that people who continue to hold the view that constituency model is the best model available are not precluded by anything that has happened in Houston from continuing to put forth that position. And a fortiori, the lab is certainly not bound by any kind of decision that precludes them from entertaining any model and voting on any model.
All right. Thank you. With that, we're going to end. That I just want to repeat that something that we just should see the political dynamics of what's going on and how we can, you know, maneuver and end up with quote unified position, if that is possible. So, but let's see what happens. We end that session and we're gonna go now into the question, which is I think from some people.